Section 2. The Internal Computer. The part of our brain that leaps to conclusions like this is called the adaptive unconscious, and the study of this kind of decision-making is one of the most important new fields in psychology. The adaptive unconscious is not to be confused with the unconscious described by Sigmund Freud, which was a dark and murky place, filled with desires and memories and fantasies that were too disturbing for us to think about consciously. This new notion of the adaptive unconscious is thought of instead as a kind of giant computer that quickly and quietly processes a lot of the data we need in order to keep functioning as human beings. When you walk out into the street and suddenly realize that a truck is bearing down on you, do you have time to think through all of your options? Of course not. The only way that human beings could ever have survived as a species for as long as we have is that we've developed another kind of decision-making apparatus that's capable of making very quick judgments based on very little information. As the psychologist Timothy D. Wilson writes in his book, Strangers to Ourselves, the mind operates most efficiently by relegating a good deal of high-level, sophisticated thinking to the unconscious, just as a modern jetliner is able to fly an automatic pilot with little or no input from the human conscious pilot. The adaptive unconscious does an excellent job of sizing up the world, warning people of danger, setting goals, and initiating action in a sophisticated and efficient manner. Wilson says that we toggle back and forth between our conscious and unconscious modes of thinking, depending on the situation. A decision to invite a coworker over for dinner is conscious. You think it over. You decide it will be fun. You ask him or her. The spontaneous decision to argue with that same coworker is made unconsciously by a different part of the brain and motivated by a different part of your personality. Whenever we meet someone for the first time, whenever we interview someone for a job, whenever we react to a new idea, whenever we're faced with making a decision quickly and under stress, we use that second part of our brain. How long, for example, did it take you, when you were in college, to decide how good a teacher your professor was? A class? Two classes? A semester? The psychologist Nalini Ambedi once gave students 3 10-second videotapes of a teacher with the sound turned off and found they had no difficulty at all coming up with a rating of the teacher's effectiveness. Then Ambedi cut the clips back to 5 seconds, and the ratings were the same. They were remarkably consistent even when she showed the students just 2 seconds of videotape. Then Ambedi compared those snap judgments of teacher effectiveness with evaluations of those same professors made by their students after a full semester of classes, and she found that they were also essentially the same. A person watching a silent 2-second video clip of a teacher he or she has never met will reach conclusions about how good that teacher is that are very similar to those of a student who has sat in a teacher's class for an entire semester. That's the power of our adaptive unconscious. You may have done the same thing, whether you realized it or not, when you first picked up this audiobook. How long did you first hold it in your hands? 2 seconds? And yet, in that short space of time, the design of the cover, whatever associations you may have had with my name, and the first few sentences about the Kuros on the back jacket all generated an impression, a flurry of thoughts and images and preconceptions that has fundamentally shaped the way you have listened to this introduction so far. Aren't you curious about what happened in those 2 seconds?